This episode was supported by funding from the Community-Led Vision Fund through the Scottish Government and the Cairngorms Trust, in partnership with the Cairngorms National Park Authority.
This train is for Inverness. The next stop is Aviemore.
Hi, I'm Jules Stapleton-Barnes, and this is a podcast about exploring the stories and celebrating the lives of LGBTQ plus people living in Scotland. With the help of 15-year-olds Alice Patton and Owen Jones from Grantown Grammar School, we're on a mission to find role models, safer spaces, support and inspiration in the Cairngorms. This is Somewhere for Us. And so I've teamed up with two young queer people living and growing up in Granton-on-Spey in the Cairngorms. It's a mountain range in the eastern highlands of Scotland where the seeds of change have been sown and queer rural life is growing. But what does it actually feel like for a young queer person, and who and what else is out there? How did you two get to know each other? And like, tell me about your friendship.
You didn't bully me.
What?
I did not bully you.
Hello, I'm Owen. I'm 15. I live in Carbridge and go to Grantown Grammar School. I just describe myself as a cis gay male. Pronouns are he, him. I have my mum and my two sisters and my stepdad. And my stepdad has also a daughter who has a husband and they have a kid. And then also my sister has a partner who has a daughter. And they both matter to me as well.
So, my name is Alice. I don't know, like, I suppose if you were to give me a label, it would be bisexual or pansexual, but I don't know. I normally just go unlabeled, because I can never decide. And then my pronouns are she, her. And the people that matter to me, I'd say my sister and my dad are probably, like, closest to me. My mum's also pretty close to me, but I definitely, like, speak to my dad more about, like, personal stuff. Yeah. I live in Granton-on-Spey.
And so do you both want to talk a little bit about like what it's like to live here and around here?
Well,
word travels fast. It's just one thing that I always think about. If something happens somewhere near around here, then
yeah,
everyone knows.
Like immediately.
Everyone knows.
Yeah.
I have a perception of what it's like for queer young people now. Are you happy with me using the phrase queer young people, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, just checking in. But when I think about myself, if I were a queer young person now, I sort of imagine there would be a lot more support and that it would be easier to talk about things. Yeah. What does the word support mean to you, I guess, in relation to being a kind of young LGBTQ plus person?
I guess just like, you know, like
someone being there.
Yeah. And like actually doing stuff when people are like homophobic and yeah.
Like, do you witness much kind of homophobia, biphobia, transphobia?
Yeah. It happens every day. Just whether it's like reacted at someone or it's just ducked into the air as like even just on the bus. It's surprising how much the S1s.
Like,
they call everything gay and just throw on that and the F slur and the N word and, like, I didn't expect it from, like, the 12-year-olds.
What is that? How old S1s are?
Yeah. 12.
Are they 11?
So, yeah, 12, 11.
I feel like every year group, like, just gets worse and worse for it. Because,
awful. I'm sorry.
What do you want to say to them? If they listen to this, what do you want to say to them?
Punch them all?
You give them all a punch. Okay.
Yeah. In the face.
I can understand it. Yeah, okay. So, but where does the punch come from? What's behind that? What are you feeling about it?
Like, because we've tried everything with them. We tried explaining it to them.
We tried just telling them.
Yeah.
We've got to swear on this or are we refraining from...
I'm not stopping you.
We've told them to f***.
Yeah, like, we've tried ignoring them. We've tried... Like, maybe coming from a teacher, if they, like, explain to them why it's bad, would that make better than us?
But they also don't really respect the teachers that much either.
Yeah.
Which doesn't help the situation of them listening and learning why they shouldn't do it. Also, I think they know it's not right.
I think it's that's why they do it.
Do it because it's not right. It's going to hurt someone. It's
makes them feel powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're yelling stuff at someone else, it takes the attention off of you.
It's also not always just yelling. I've had touching my hair.
Yeah, people have an obsession with touching your arms and stuff in weird ways.
So before November, I had long hair. So not very long hair, down to there if I didn't tie it up.
Yeah, it was
down to my chin when I covered my face. But there was this one guy who always would put his hand and do that to my when I had it up. Never when I just had it up, whenever.
Yeah, didn't one guy almost after PE go up to you and try to kiss you and stuff like
that? Happened more than once. I think about 3 times at least.
Yeah, and it's not just you as well, because I know that there's other people that experience that, and it's just so bad.
Mm. It sounds like people are really crossing boundaries. I mean, people will just choose anything, right?
Yeah.
When things aren't right for them. Who knows why people do it? I think there's probably lots of different reasons why people bully.
Because
that's what we're talking about here. It's bullying and it's abusive.
Yeah.
So what do you want guidance to do about that?
Well, we were speaking with...
Or teachers, whoever.
Yeah, well, we were speaking with Miss Carmichael and the Amnesty Group. And we were planning on doing a parent informing night, sometime around parents' evening. So parents are going to have to be there because it's mandatory for the kids. And we're just going to say, this is what your kids are doing. Even if you think it might not be your kid, it probably is.
Great.
And we're going to try and do that. And just, explain to them, what their kids are doing, why it's bad, and what they need to do to help their kids not do it.
It's hard, isn't it? Because I think the issues that we face as LGBTQ+ people, in terms of not there being this sort of imaginary normal that we sit outside of, and that there is, as part of that imaginary normal, there is a right way and a wrong way, and then we sit outside of it. And I'm not sure we're that far away from that. I think the world is progressing around us. I think Scotland's becoming a more progressive country and legislation's changing, not fast enough, but it's there. But, the people in your world, if those hearts and minds don't change, and don't start to see the world as more diverse than just there being a normal and everybody outside of that, then it's really hard to imagine an 11-year-old who's got those views around them is going to suddenly do differently. I hope they will.
Yeah.
If you're enjoying learning about rural queer life in Scotland, you're going to love issue 10 of the Somewhere For Us magazine. In the jam-packed issue, we chat to Scottish music star Callum Beattie, inspiring author Carrie Marshall, and the incomparable Lady Bushra. And in amongst paddling on lochs, rafting down the Spey and walking in the glens, we've also parachuted into the Cairngorms National Park to find out about LGBTQ park life. And we get to spend lots of time with some of the LGBTQ+ people who currently live and work there. Visit the website to find out about membership and to get your copy now.
With the normal and normal and not normal, right and wrong, I remember, I think it was an SR2 or 3, it was a sex education. There was nothing about queer relationships whatsoever.
Give me context. When's S? What year was that?
2020. One.
Yeah, no. The only thing was, what are they called?
Diaphragm things.
The dental guard. Yeah, that was it. But it was very just these are for lesbians.
For lesbians.
For anybody.
Yeah. The straight. I remember saying in one class specifically, and so this must have been 2021 because I had already. So I initially said I was bisexual because I didn't want to come out fully as gay yet, but I did know, but so I kind of white lied a bit. But I remember we were doing what if you got pregnant, or what if your girlfriend got pregnant, what would you do? And I remember sitting there for about half the class, not writing anything down, just thinking but I don't like girls. This will never happen to me.
This is irrelevant for me.
And I was very close to being like, what do I do if I don't, if this doesn't apply to me? Like, what do I do if I only like men?
Did you ask that question?
I was too scared. Like, I remember, so all the girls who were my friends were behind me, so I couldn't really speak to them. And then I had a guy, and a guy.
In front of you.
Yeah, because we were split out into, like, gendered groups as well.
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting because they're asking the class to imagine a scenario for themselves.
Yeah.
With a massive assumption that it is going to be possible to conjure that imagining because, I mean, it just doesn't fit, does it? But, like, what would you want instead? So thinking about who you both are, right? What you know, what you don't know. And what you need and what you don't need. If you were to go into a PSC class right now, mm-hmm. if I was, say I'm your teacher, right? Cool. Okay. So, and I don't know whether I'd be one of those teachers that just commands respect when they don't say anything, or whether I'd be one of those teachers that loses it after like 2 minutes and then everyone gets that I've lost control and then just throws paper at me. I'm not sure which one I'd be. But let's imagine I'm a very cool-headed teacher, right? And I come in. Class is really noisy. Okay, it's all your mates. And I say, okay. I'm sure those are really important conversations, but shut up, sit down. Okay. And then I say, today we're doing some PSE. What does PSE mean?
Personal social education.
Personal social education. Okay. And Ms. Stapleton Barnes is here to give you some PSE. What does it look like?
I feel like just informing you about your own body and what other bodies can like and
in school,
so you don't get taught about other people's bodies.
I've heard that other schools don't. My school did. We were all thrown into like the same room, but it was very like it was the weirdest. They ran around a room with feathers.
Oh no, we got that.
It was so weird.
Like the feather pellets.
Sorry, feathers.
So basically, they're like. Metaphor, I guess, pillow for sex fighting. Was pillow fighting and chasing each other naked with feathers. That's what we were told it was.
So that was sex.
Yeah, that's what we were told.
You get tickled with a feather and then you're pregnant.
That's what we were told.
I don't even know what to say to that. I'm just going to eat videos, a jelly snake.
Those videos must be from like the early like 90s or something. Like they're so old.
And the kids.
Do either of you want to tell us a little bit about how you came out, either to others or to yourself?
It took me a little second to figure myself out.
Tell me about that second.
I thought I was, and I started thinking S1, maybe. Okay, well, at the very start, I didn't like the idea of, like, dating a girl, like, in future when I was adult, like, the further steps. So I was like, oh, I must be asexual because I don't like women, so that's the only other option that I had.
And there are the only people I can see around me, so.
And then, yeah, no, like, that was, like, from, like, late autumn through to, like, spring. And then I was like, oh, wait, guys exist. I came out to my family and they're like, okay, like, in the best way, we don't care. Like, we love you. We support you. But they're like, be careful with it though, because you don't want to, like, label yourself and, like, feel like you have to be stuck to that label.
What do you think they were worried about?
Just that also. I think they might have been worried a bit about bullying and, like, me feeling like I couldn't change and that I had to be that forever in case my feelings did ever change. And then I felt like I couldn't change them. And, like, that I'd change. Because, like, a lot of people become, like, they see what the stereotypes are and then feel like they have to do that to, like, fit in.
Mm.
But I was like, I wouldn't do that. But then...
What do you think they think the stereotypes are?
Where it's, like the flamboyant and, like, I don't know, like, just, like...
That's a hard question, because we kind of know, right? We kind, like, of know what, like, that means, it but it's hard to put into words.
It feels bad saying it out loud as well, like, the, like, flouncy, like, because I'm loud and I'm kind of, I feel like I'm fairly out there most of the time. But, like, they just didn't want me to change, but to try fit in. So I could, they just didn't want me to change to fit in to what other people wanted to think I was, I would be like, as someone who's gay.
But yeah, I think I hear what you're saying. Can I just make a comment about watching you try and say that then? I could really hear, I could feel it actually, your reluctance to name things that are the stereotypes, because those things aren't bad.
They're not bad, no. They're not quite who I am, so it feels if I say them, they'll sound like I'm saying they're bad.
Yeah.
But they're not.
No,
they're just not me.
If you like getting stuck into LGBTQ+ stories, you're going to love the Somewhere For Us magazine. Come and join us as a member and you'll receive your copy of the magazine right through your front door. Exclusive collaborations, original interviews, beautiful illustrations and your community at your fingertips. Visit the website www.somewhereforus.org.
I was just talking to the Hebridean baker, which is Conor McLeod, and who lives in the Isle of Lewis. And he does lots of different things. He doesn't just bake, but he was talking about growing up as a young gay person on the Isle of Lewis and how that was for him. But he had to leave. He was talking about leaving Isle of Lewis to go away and find himself and find out what that meant for him to go back. And he lives there now. He's gone back to the Isle of Lewis and he dots around the world doing his thing. But he lives in the Isle of Lewis and he has a really passionate, grounded relationship with where he grew up. But he talks about how difficult it is to reconnect with where you grew up, but the value in making that connection and it being worth it. So I just wonder, thinking about, you know, your future, and do you see yourselves in Granton on Spey? Do you see yourself here? Do you imagine a world outside of here?
Well, I didn't always live here. I lived in Dundee until I was 8. And I remember, like, even back then, there were, like, you know, there were boys dressing in girls' Disney princess outfits. They were pretty chill about it. And it was really accepting. But then, like, I came here and it was like, no, mustn't be done. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think
so. You remember there being a difference between...
Yeah, I think I'm probably just going to go back to Dundee. Don't see myself here.
You see yourself here?
No.
And what about you, Owen?
I'm not really sure. I don't think I'm going to go miles, miles away, but I'm not going to stay here for, like, at least for school. I'm going to go somewhere.
Where are you going to go?
I'm not sure, really. Any art school. I'm going to go away, take a city somewhere to go do university.
You had a really quick reaction to that. It was quite a strong reaction to that. Where does that reaction come from, do you think?
I've been here my whole life. Yeah. Never moved house. Always just been in Carbridge. I swapped house with my gran in Carbridge, but like literally, not an exaggeration, next door. It was literally just that.
Yeah.
We share the same driveway. So
it feels like the same house.
Yeah.
What's the value of going away? Why would you leave?
New experiences. Also, as a gay guy, doesn't feel like there's
enough gayness.
There's not really a scene here. There was a few queer people in our year and like above us, and there's not really a queer scene around here. So I'd like to go away and experience that sort of everything. I'm like, I just like to go away. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not like going to go away and never come back here ever again, but go away for a while. Maybe stay away and come back now and then. But no, I want to move away.
I like to ask what it's like being queer in the city, because I don't really know. It sounds so much better.
It sounds so much nicer.
What is it like being queer in the city? I don't think I've ever been asked that, you know, that exact question. You see people holding hands. You see people who look like you.
I went to Inverness on Tuesday and there was two guys holding hands, like, sitting very close. And I was like, are those? Sorry, I interrupted there.
No, like, I wanted you to. That was lovely. What a nice moment. yeah, you do. You see people holding hands and more. You see families with two dads, two mums. You know, these are some of the good points.
Yeah.
But you can get out of it and you can get lost. Do you know, that's what's quite nice as a queer person. It's like you can go and go to a place for the first time and people don't know you. So the kind of difference being from your situation where everybody knows what you're doing, you can get lost in cities, which is at some point in your life really, really important. And if you're coming out as well, I think, I mean, there's being queer now as a 42-year-old queer woman and a parent, but there's also being like a 19-year-old, you know, going to university or going to cities as a 19-year-old, coming out when my family didn't know. So I was able to get on a train, go to London, come out in a city, be totally queer and meet queer people and, you know, explore parts of myself, knowing that none of that would ever get back to my family. But I mean, the other thing about cities is there's more people, which means there's more chance for people to say and do bad things. So there is that. You got a bit excited about a few things there. What excites you about a city?
There's stuff to do and it's not boring and no one knows you and that sounds great.
Well, that's just to meet people as well.
Yeah.
Last year, my sister took me to the Glasgow Pride parade.
Wow, how'd that go?
It was really cool.
It's making you smile a lot.
We did like our makeup and like I had a gay male flag tied around me and I had like my top hat. I had full gone all out. Got to do my own makeup. I think that was the first time I got to do my own makeup. I always got my sister to do it before then.
Wow. How did Pride feel for you?
So it was really cool.
Can I throw a question at you? What does LGBT History Month mean to you? Do you know what that is? How does it feature in life here in the Cairngorms?
I don't think we would know much about it if we weren't a part of Amnesty, because like we've done like Pride Month like related stuff before, but everyone else, like, they don't even know what month it is. They're like,
I'm not sure. I don't. Is it this one? When is LGBTQ History Month?
February. It's right now. You're living it. You're creating history right now on the podcast. Oh, I'm just being shown a picture of Owen. Hang on a minute. Owen dressed up for Pride. Oh, look at you two. You look fab. You look so happy, Owen.
Like, it was cool. It was just like,
ah, yeah. Fantastic.
And
so we have kind of like a wish list on what would make like being out better for us. And we were thinking like seeing businesses that are led by like,
I love that so much. I was like literally thinking in my head, wouldn't a wish list be nice?
So we were thinking about like seeing like businesses like that are either like run by LGBT plus or like, you know, like within the town. More of availability to like being accepting of people of LGBTQ plus and like places to go if you're a bit unsure that don't pressure you into going, you know. Seeing people in the community that are out, because I don't know, like, can you name anyone that isn't like our age that's out in?
No.
Who are your role models in town?
We don't have any. Like, there's none.
I'm going to find you one. And yeah, we're going to be hosting, I think, Granton's first LGBT History Month event.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been anything like that before.
And you're going to come?
Yeah.
Hopefully I can make it. I wouldn't.
Yeah? Are you going to bring family?
Yeah. My sister's like, I want to come.
And what do you hope for at an event like that?
A chance for people to like meet each other that like they might not have known that they had like something in common with, and then
yeah.
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 So what I'm gonna do is I'm going to bring this along to the event, and I'll maybe grab you both for a wee chat.
Okay.
Because I really want to find out from you what it feels like to be there.
Yeah, we'd like to see people in the community and meet people that are part of like LGBTQ+, because we don't, like, there aren't many. Like, there are a couple, but...
That's what you think.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to go and find some queers for you.
Yeah.
I am. Before the end of today, I'm going to find you a queer in Granton-on-Spey. That's my plan. I'm going to find you someone, even if it's someone letting you know that they know someone.
Yeah.
Okay? That's my challenge. I am coming for you.
Queers are us.
Because, no, this is important, because these two amazing people, Owen and Alice, they need role models. They need people in their community who are out and who are showing that you can live a really full, happy life as an LGBTQ plus person, which, of course, you absolutely deserve to do. True to my word, I went on a treasure hunt. About a few minutes' walk from the school to Granton-on-Spey High Street, where I met Fiona and her sister from Fiona's Whole Foods and Refills, another Alice from Donaldson's, Mandy from a gift shop, oh, and a couple of lovely people from the chip.
So, the young people, the lovely young people that I'm talking to on this podcast, mm-hmm. believe that there are no role models in town, and that there are no, or very few LGBTQ plus safe spaces that they can go and feel kind of seen or connect to. What would you say to that? Like, is that your experience at Granton?
No, no. I know many LGBTQ people living here in Granton, some running businesses, some just living here, having fun.
Living their lives.
Yeah. My sister, who runs my business with me, is gay. One of my other members of staff is bisexual. So, yeah, I think there's definitely lots of opportunity in Grant.
And we definitely offer a safe space here.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
A zero tolerance to bullying or hate speech or anything like that. Yeah. So,
great. That's really nice to hear. You've done a wonderful job. You've literally frozen. Okay, I'm going to release you.
There's two lads who run a bit of breakfast.
And the two lads are together? So nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I think that Granton is quite a diverse community with people from all over this country, all over the UK and all over the world. And I think that's lent itself to some diversity, because I certainly could say there is a handful of businesses that I know with quite openly LGBT people running them. So I think you'll find that Granton is quite a accepting, warm community. And hopefully they'll find that as they, you know, come out into the community more.
If you're enjoying learning about rural queer life in Scotland, you're going to love issue 10 of the Somewhere For Us magazine. In the jam-packed issue, we chat to Scottish music star Callum Beattie, inspiring author Carrie Marshall, and the incomparable Lady Bushra. And in amongst paddling on lochs, rafting down the Spey and walking in the glens, we've also parachuted into the Cairngorms National Park to find out about LGBTQ park life. And we get to spend lots of time with some of the LGBTQ plus people who currently live and work there. Visit the website to find out about membership and to get your copy now. And so, I'm on a train again, journeying from a city that Alice and Owen were so excited to explore one day soon. But perhaps for the first time ever, there is an LGBTQ plus event happening closer to home in their town, hosted by Somewhere For Us in the heart of Granton-on-Spey at the museum. There'll be an LGBTQ plus heritage talk by Steph Lauer, live music written by Hamish Henderson and Lord Byron, performed by the wonderful harpist Marie-Louise Napier. There's an exhibition featuring artwork from the school, and we're bringing all 10 magazine covers to showcase the artwork from across Scotland and bringing those stories together. Unlike most party hosts, we're wondering, is anybody going to show up? But for Alice and Owen and other young queer people in the Cairngorms, it's more important than that. It feels like visibility, representation, and a thriving queer community is vital for their well-being
and their sense of hope for the future.
The next stop today is Kenya.
How many goodie bags are there?
50.
I like the jaunty angle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything's jaunty angle. Yeah. More about
it. Okay,
let's find some.
So a very big welcome to you all. I hope you have a great time this afternoon. Not only does it mark LGBT History Month in Granton, we've transformed the museum into a rainbow space to celebrate and showcase some fantastic LGBTQ people, both past and present, who have a connection to this wonderful place. We're over the moon to have reached a milestone of issue number 10. Woo! So we're very happy to be celebrating with you with some help from Leanne and Lorna from Candy Coo for some sweeties in the goodie bags over here and some special rainbow cupcakes from KJ's Bossy Bakery.
So we've got a room full of people. There's loads of noise going on through there, so we've just come into a little bit of a cupboard. Because I wanted to ask you three young people, I'm excited to be here to meet so many different LGBTQ plus people of all different ages, all different backgrounds. But what does it mean to you?
It means a lot because in the Granton community, we've never really had anything like this. This is the first I've ever been to an event like this, and I'm so happy that they're now being hosted. And there's people like me in the area when I thought that there was nobody as a young trans person.
I'm so pleased. I'm really pleased you came.
It just means a lot that this community that's not really been it's not really been noticeable, and it means a lot that now we've got it in the community, it's more visible, and I'll be able to walk down the street and see somebody and know, oh, I know that person, and they're part of the community too, they're here for me if I need them, they'll understand.
I think it's really nice to see all these people here enjoying the event, and I know a lot of these people, my mum's here as well.
Thank you so much, that's really, really lovely. I really appreciate you sharing your stuff.
Yes.
Thank you.
So thanks again for having me along for a wee chat. I'm going to raise an imaginary glass to Happy LGBT History Month. We're celebrating all these characters, past and present. Yeah, thanks very much.
So amidst the people from their town, friends, family, and people they've only just met, I sent Alice and Owen off with a recorder to have their own conversations.
What does today mean to you?
It's just nice to like see everyone here, and it's nice to learn about everything, and it's just like a happy day, and it means a lot. It means a lot.
My name's Jen McGee Convery. I live in Newton Moor, and the Somewhere For Us people were lovely enough to feature an article about the business that my wife and I own, which is Riverweald Adventures. And I think the most wonderful thing about the event today was just bringing so many people together that otherwise might not have found themselves in the room together. As some people said in the different talks and the different stories that we heard from, there is a presence of the queer community within this area, but even 5 years ago wasn't something that was actively present, you know, that there wasn't an opportunity for people to meet each other. And so having lived here for 5 years, it's only been in the last 6 months that I've really felt like I'm part of this community. And that's because of events like the event that Somewhere For Us is arranged today and the Paddling With Pride group that are bringing people from the LGBTQ plus community together and just saying, we see you, we are here, and let's celebrate the fact that we're part of this community and bring more people together rather than feeling like we have to be quietly part of this local community. So it's been an absolutely fantastic day. I'm really looking forward to it being more to come and that this is the first of many. And I would just encourage anybody who feels like they're unseen within this community to get along to an event like this, because you suddenly realise there's so many people like you here that you can celebrate with.
How does it feel?
You don't talk about it up here very much.
Yeah, no, it's quite a private thing.
Yeah, it's very confusing, and then you can't tell anyone, because if you do, then the entire community knows. And then if it changes, people are going to be like, yeah, you're just going through a phase, and it's just, it's hard.
I agree.
Very confusing.
I very much agree.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be a teacher that deals with all of the LGBTQ plus issues within the school?
I feel that I'm in a really fortunate position, and the fact that young people feel comfortable enough to come and speak to me about these things, not just me but lots of other staff, I think is brilliant. Also, the fact that we have so many young people who identify with the community, it's one of the reasons I love where I work.
Do you know what today means for you?
Oh, brilliant. So I'm Steph. I'm the wife of Catherine. And today means a huge landmark in the national park. I've lived in the park for nearly 8 years. And to have something like this in the park, absolutely amazing. So good on for somewhere for putting it up. I'm really glad it went so well. Oh, lovely. Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's really nice to kind of see in history that there were people like us before us. So I hope that kind of gives you a bit more courage and see how people live their authentic lives 200 years ago. So it's all good.
Files with fear, but these bones that lie empty and hollow are ready for gladness to cheer. By night and day we'll sport and we'll play and delight as the dawn dances over the bay. Sleep blows the breath and we'll follow the herald home.
Okay. So I'm here with my co-producers, Alice and Owen.
Back at it again.
Back at it again. But we're here at the event that we talked about when we first met, which is, we think, Granton, I suppose, first ever LGBT
I've never heard of any other.
Never. So as well as launching issue 10 of the Somewhere for Us magazine and our episode 5 of the podcast, which you two have helped me make, we're also here just being visible and celebrating the community here. And one of the things that we talked about when we first spoke was about the lack of role models and the lack of visibility. How do you feel after today?
Pretty good, so actually. There's like, we got a whole room stuffed full of other queer people.
Yeah.
And so what, did anything surprise you about today?
I actually think of the amount, actually.
And also like the age range, because it's not like all just people of one age. There's like whole scale, you know?
Yeah, amazing. And so what do you think the legacy of this event should be? Like, what should happen next?
Hopefully this becomes like an annual thing.
I hope it becomes an annual thing, definitely.
Yeah, and it'll become bigger, and then more people will show up, and then
and more visibility, and more bigger visible community in Granton.
Yeah.
Like we had today. Maybe it'll grow if we continue having events like these.
Can I tell you what I wish for you both? Having listened to what you said about your experiences at school, I wish that that feeling of safety that you talk about in terms of the town,
also transfers into the school, like in your school lives. And so I would love to see that improve for you. Well, you two have been role models for me, so. No, you have. You have. And I've learned a lot along the way about not taking for granted the good stuff when it comes along and the progress that we make, but also to not make the assumption that that progress that we think we're making is reaching everybody. And I think in some cases it needs to reach you more.
Yeah.
Living rurally, I think it's great that the town is progressing in terms of hearts and minds. That's such a lovely thing. Thanks so much for talking to me.
You're welcome. It's been great.
Well, my time in the Cairngorms with the folks of Granton-on-Spey has been an adventure. There are LGBTQ plus businesses and community projects blossoming as we speak. But there is this contrast between the experiences of queer adults and queer young people. With so much of their time spent at school and with their peers, we can learn a lot from their voices as to what and where the support and progress is needed too. I'm sending special thanks and gratitude to my co-producers Alice Patton and Owen Jones. Somewhere for Us in the Cairngorms was proudly supported by the Community-Led Vision Fund through the Scottish Government and the Cairngorms Trust in partnership with the Cairngorms National Park Authority.